All right, we're still on Luke 10:7, eating and drinking.
Oh, we're done yesterday.
No, we have one thing of homework. You remember?
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I couldn't think of anything.
1 Corinthians 10:21. The homework was to see if he knew what that meant. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils.
Well, I think that's just impossible.
You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils.
Flesh will not be a partaker in the kingdom of God, and that don't have anything to do with each other.
You got to hear this. This is one of those things where the way gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. And it all has to do, whatsoever you do in thought, word, and deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. There's no exception. And so again, the test is this incredibly subtle thing. If you have an investment in the outcome, then you're not doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing it as unto an idol. And that is the meaning of this. As long as you, if you're doing it as unto the idol, first of all, you haven't died to self. You haven't seen your death. And so you've got some, oh, I hate to pick on you, but you've got a good idea folder. I even saw that there's a deal on the internets. Something I saw anyway. It was the same thing. Some great ideas. Anyway,
you said something that kind of triggered a thought of if you haven't seen your death. That's a question. A good question.
Because if you haven't seen your death, then everything you do will come from this.
Yeah.
And it's not that you, this is one of these deals. It isn't that you shouldn't, let me read it again. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. It's like you cannot, if there's the slightest, if you are in the picture in any way, then you cannot drink of the Lord's cup or eat of the Lord's table. Because you're eating and drinking unto self. Now, this is why this is the hallmark of carnal Christianity. Because carnal Christianity tries to use this mystery of God to benefit them. Everybody's heard of the, you know, people go to church to pick up girls, or vice versa. Anyway, let's look at one other thing in this, and then hopefully we'll.
It's like you can't serve God and man.
Right. It's not. It's not that you shouldn't. You can't.
Yeah.
No matter how much you think you are. All right, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Start in verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must you needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one known not to eat. Now, for you don't have any business judging them that are without. Now, again, it all has to do from God's standpoint. If you do go anywhere other than God for your sustenance, you're a fornicator. Now, that's a difficult one. And that's why this way gets narrower and narrower and narrower. All right, let's go to one other, 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate. Thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, this all has to do with the same thing. Remember, we got to stay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt, and Egypt is an eternal type of the world, they crossed the Red Sea, or Dead Sea, in baptism, Red Sea, I guess it is, in baptism, and then wandered in the wilderness until they were shed of the grave clothes of Egypt. And it was pretty intense. Several million people came out, including the children and men and women and mixed multitude. Only two entered the promise, Caleb and Joshua. Joshua, the type of Christ, and Caleb wasn't even an Israelite. He was a Canaanite, but he was a friend of the bridegroom. Now, that's the best that we, after the flesh, can be, as a friend of the bridegroom. And from us and out of us comes the mystery of the bride. Now, that's why the parable of what Israel did when they entered the promised land, when they entered Canaan, was a parable. For the seven tribes or seven mountains of your mind. And so let's read this and see if we can understand it. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, and these are the seven, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now those seven nations were the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Canaan just means it's just a word that means merchandisers. Now, that's why everything we now warfare, not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual wickedness in our own high places of our mind. And those seven tribes represent the seven mountains or hills and high places in you. Now listen to what he says. And this is what happened after the flesh. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Now, the whole idea then, everything in time and space is trying to get you to make a covenant with these guys. It has nothing to do with the external. It's the high place activity that everything is trying to get you to make a covenant with. That's why total and complete emptiness is the only way before God. And that's what's called repentance or abandonment of self. But the moment you return, you can't return a little bit. It's digital. It's either all or nothing. So when you go out and you lean on your own arm of understanding and begin this issue of cause and effect, then you've put on the Babylonian garment and the abomination of desolation becomes automatic because the evil one resets himself, the instead of Christ, in you as the temple of God. Now these seven nations have dominion over you again. Now, and this is the reason this is so important is because it's revealed in this thing of the of communion, the Lord's Supper, if you will. It's revealed in what you eat and what you drink. Now, if you have an interest in being a disciple, then you cannot drink of the Lord's table and the table of all of these guys up here. This is what all this is about. It's what and we could read the rest of it. But thus shall you, in verse 5, thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. That's why his ministers are flaming fire. But can you see how intimately this is involved in what we eat and what we drink? You're doing it, Gary. What are you doing?
Well, you just asked a question, and I wasn't seeing that in light of what you've been saying. Then you brought it back in. Had to digest a little bit, figure out that is what we're talking about. But what we're talking about, I wasn't seeing.
All right. Please. And again, this way becomes... It becomes exclusively him. It's just because you start out with he's like your buddy or something, or you've accepted him as your personal savior, and then hopefully quickly it's boom, then it's only him. You've died. You've seen your death. Okay? All right, let's go back to Luke. Anybody have any questions about eating or drinking and what it means? All right, Luke 10. In the same manner remain, in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Now, the laborer it's the word ergatos in Greek, but it means, in the context of this, it means the fruit of the power of God. Now, the idea is you're preaching the gospel. You're there declaring the kingdom of God is here. you and the purpose of the sending out these guys was to start seders. So when there was what does it say? And whatsoever house you enter, and say peace be to this house, and if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. So that begins the process. That's the guys, the two, were the falling, the kernel of wheat that's falling into the ground and dying. And from that, a Seder is formed. 10 to 20 people. And that was the intent. So they go not from house to house. And then what it says is interesting. The laborer is worthy of his hire. It doesn't mean that televangelists get to have million-dollar houses. It's talking about what you have to eat and drink. It's not talking about your salary because you don't have one. So the laborer is worthy of his hire and is talking about eating and drinking. Now, worthy is means axios. It just means befitting or meriting, and hire is misthos. Again, the fruit of an endeavor. Now let's look at some of these. Let's go to Matthew 10. It says the same thing in a little bit different way. Verse 10, and this says, talk about the same thing. Don't bring scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor add staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat or his food. Again, the workman is worthy of his hire. It's talking about food and drink, not million-dollar incomes. Then we're going back to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9. Well, I'm going to read starting let's start in chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, for there be many gods, as there be many gods. I can't even read now. As there be gods many, and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we are in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Albeit there is not in every man this knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat or food commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through that thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Now he goes into the, what about the worthy of his hire? Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not you my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as brethren of the Lord and Cephas, or I only and Barnabas, have not we the power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charge? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of an ox, of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. And he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of the power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altars are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And Paul says, but I have used none of these things. So he's saying the other apostles did. Why not he and Barnabas? And this is one of the reasons that Paul is considered the greatest of the apostles. Because what are you doing, Gary?
I'm just reading it again.
Anyway, we're just talking about the labor is worthy of his hire. It always has to do with just the bare necessities of life. It doesn't have to do with all this other stuff. Now, Paul was a tent maker. But we're not talking like little pup tents. We're talking about tents, the tents that were used on these long treks that were quite fancy and sturdy. And he was a very talented guy. But anyhow, that's enough. Workman is worthy of his hire. All right. Any thoughts? Responses to any of this?
I had a quick thought about society without money would be like money just dominates much of what everybody's about. And this is like not about that. The kingdom of God is a different entity.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you had money or not, the kingdom of the world would be the same. Just substitute something else for it.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about the kingdom of God. Money is not the issue. Your sustenance doesn't come from what you can buy. It's
Right.
It's another realm.
Yeah, because you're at the first source of all things. So how can you possibly have a need? All right. That is enough. Take a big breath.